Welcome one, welcome all. Another week has come and gone, and you have found yourself listening to one of the fastest growing podcasts in the podcast universe. You have found yourself tuned in to the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to your host, who is always wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you for tuning in. This week's show, I got to tell you, this week's show is going to be reminiscent of one of the very, very first shows that I have ever done on the Paranormal Patriot. Now, for my newer listeners, you may think the Paranormal Patriot is only, what, I'm thinking I'm 50 episodes in or somewhere like that. However, what you don't know is I didn't restart this thing back up until January of 2018. Prior to that, this was a show going on 3 years. Things happened, people said things, I was going through a lot of difficulties in my life, and I shut down the Paranormal Patriot and never thought that I would bring it back. Well, I did, and it's growing like gangbusters. It's spreading like wildfire. But about the fourth or fifth, maybe the sixth, I don't remember for sure, but an episode I did was, it centered around a Bigfoot encounter. Well, it wasn't even an encounter. It was a Bigfoot interaction from a gentleman who lived in Midland, Michigan. And Midland, Michigan is about the middle part of the state. Very, very populated. Very, I won't say industrialized because it's not a factory. It's Dow Chemicals there, I guess. It could be, it's very chemical oriented, I guess. But what I'm saying is Midland, Michigan is not where you would expect to find a Bigfoot. Well, there was a gentleman, and my brother-in-law worked with this guy at Consumers Energy. And this guy said in his parcel of land, his one-acre parcel of land, and keep in mind that that 1 acre included his house and his grasslands and maybe the tree line in the back, but in that tree line lived a Bigfoot. And this Bigfoot interacted with him, and it loved Nutty Butters, and it loved pizza, but it did not like Oreos. It stuck sticks through Oreos. And there were Bigfoot organizations, research organizations that were taking this guy at his word. Well, I knew right from the get-go that this guy, he was crazy. First off, as I said, my brother-in-law worked with this guy. So my brother-in-law would say, yeah, this guy is, he's out there. He is way out there. Now, I'm out there. I get that. I believe in a lot of things that a lot of you may not even believe in, but I have a 3/4 of an acre plot. 90% of that is filled with my house and my grass that I mow every week in the summer. I have a thin tree line that separates my property from the farm field behind me. That is essentially in this little itty-bitty wood line where this guy would communicate, feed, and hang out with his Bigfoot, and it'd come and go via a portal. Well, that show had rave reviews. It brought to light how some people, and more importantly, how there are a lot of, and it's not just the Bigfoot organizations, it is the
the paranormal investigation, the paranormal organizations as a whole will take something as ridiculous as that and run with it and call it good. Now, I called out an organization and, they didn't like it. And I still hold true to that. But today's episode may change my mind. I'm going to talk to you about a woman, again, in Michigan, it must be something in the water, that says she lives in harmony with a group of Bigfoot on her property. We're going to talk about that. And then to end the show, I want a quick segment. There is a lot of talk about socialism. And I have had a lot of people, and I'm going to mention this on my comment of the week, but there's a lot of people that are telling me that their kids are being taught socialism in school. How do we combat that? Well, first off, you have to be a parent. But then I'm going to tell you what I think and what others think is the proper way to teach your child to not believe in the fallacy of socialism. But before we begin the show, before we take our break, I want to talk to you about the comment of the week. And this is from Jan in Ohio. Lima, Ohio, to be exact. Jan says, "Tom, I just started listening to your show. I listen for the paranormal aspects, but again, like a lot of people you say, I'm intrigued by the political side of things. I'm intrigued by the way you think. I am not what you would call a Trump supporter. However, I am not a Democrat. I don't believe in Trump, but I don't believe in the way that Democrats think. My issue is the Democrats now are not hiding their true intentions. They are going out and they are telling everyone that it's okay to kill an infant. They're telling everybody that it's okay to tax you beyond your means to support their government. The Democrat Party is all about power. I don't hold myself as a Democrat, never have, never will. I don't hold myself as a conservative, never have, never will. I have views that I guess I would be called an independent. But my children are being taught socialism in school. And this is starting as early as elementary school. Tom, how do you combat that? How do you tell your child socialism is not the answer? I've tried to show them pictures of Venezuela and tell them what goes on in Soviet Russia. But they're too young to understand. What do you do? Any help you can give me, I would greatly appreciate it. I appreciate the show. I appreciate your thoughts. You seem to be a very intelligent man. Thank you, Jan. I appreciate that. Keep up the good work. Jan, Lima, Ohio." Well, Jan, thank you for the letter, the comment, and that's the comment of the week. And thank you for the topic, one of the topics of this show. I'm going to tell you my thoughts and other people's thoughts on how to combat socialism. We'll get into more of it later, but we're going to come back. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. And before we get into the socialism aspect of it, you have to hear this story about the woman in Michigan who lives in harmony with Bigfoot. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I got to tie down this tinfoil hat because it's going to get wild here. I will be right back. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. Sicknesses of our true pain. How do we coexist with all the same? Witnesses in turn, they say. We are all accused of passing the blame. They're back. Join us Friday, September 20th, 2019, and Saturday, September 21st, 2019, in Northern Michigan for an Out of This World event. You are going to witness the second annual Michigan UFO Contact. Spend the weekend listening and learning from their special guest speakers who will be lecturing about UFO sightings, experiences, the contact phenomenon, and more.
Also, be sure to check out their amazing vendor rooms for unique gifts, creative works, psychic readings, and much more. Some of your favorite vendors from last year are returning, plus some great new ones. Stay tuned for the special lineup of speakers. This year's event will blow your mind. Now, because everyone was so pleased with the location last year, they have decided to return to the beautiful Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. The resort overlooks the largest inland lake in Michigan, is full of windows, and includes a walkout balcony from the conference room and the vendor rooms. They have a fantastic restaurant inside of the hotel, and the rooms, well, they're the best. This will be another educational and refreshing event. Friday and Saturday, September 20th and 21st, 2019, at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan, Michigan UFO Contact 2. When you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you.
Of a ways to exist, philadelphia for a minute, then my mind starts to drift. Dream shift, understanding expands, products of an ego, morph our circumstance, a chance to escape everyday banality, brutality.
How do I even begin an intro to this discussion here? I can't. So let's just get into it. Let's meet Robin Lynn Pfeiffer, the self-proclaimed rural Michigan mother of Bigfoots. Out of all the people who have claimed to see, have seen Bigfoot, one Michigan woman by far puts them all to shame. Because Robin Lynn Pfeiffer, for her, Bigfoot sightings have become an everyday occurrence after a family of them have made their home in the woods behind her house. Now, while there are all types of Bigfoot sightings around the world, this elusive cryptid's reputation in Michigan, it's not that well established, especially when compared to the Pacific Northwest and other parts of the United States. But that hasn't stopped Robin Lynn Pfeiffer from telling the world that not only does she have a family of Bigfoot living behind her house, she's their mom. She feeds them. She plays with them. She has everything that every normal mother would have. But remember, for those of you who have listened from the get-go, remember how the Bigfoot in Midland, Michigan, he loved Nutty Butters. He loved pizza. He hated Oreos. Well, Bigfoot in Newaygo County, this is a county just east of the Muskegon area in Michigan. If you look at the map of Michigan, and for those of you who have a left hand, put your hand up. Face your palm away from you. There's Michigan. Go to about your pinky knuckle and go a little bit down, and that's about Newaygo County, Michigan. Now, while strolling through the woods, Robin Lynn Pfeiffer found that Bigfoot secretly crave a simple breakfast. Now, when the Bigfoots moved onto her property in 2009, well, Lynn Pfeiffer, she started feeding them different food, and she discovered that they love not pizza, not Nutty Butters. Ready? Blueberry bagels. Now, blueberry bagels, good stuff. Don't mind them. But when discussing their feeding schedule, she actually talked to Discovery News in 2011 on this. She said they get fish every day. They get a bucket of fruit. They get a bucket of dry dog food, but their favorite thing is blueberry bagels. Now, she is very conscious about this, and to assure her neighbors that she's not doing anything weird with the baked goods, she buys the bagels at different stores in her area, as if feeding them to a family of Bigfoot is not weird. So now she's feeding them fish, dried dog food, blueberry bagels. She says, according to Robin Lynn Pfeiffer, now when they're not chomping on this food, they're goofing around and pulling pranks on each other and her. Now, when I think of Bigfoot, I think of a big, impractical joker. Am I right? She said they like to poke around the home's crawl space, knock on walls, and braid her pony's hair. As if that weren't cute enough, she said they also build little stick structures out of wood. Those Bigfoot, they are very friendly, and they're very funny, and they're pranksters, and apparently aspiring hairdressers to ponies. Now, I may be out of line here, but you would think if a family of Bigfoot moved onto your property, one of the first things you do would be to take a photo of your newfound friends and family. Well, Robin Lynn Pfeiffer has reportedly tried to take their pictures, but these wily Bigfoot, well, they simply outwit her every single time. When she would set up automatic cameras around the forest, the Bigfoots would turn them around. Okay, you can't get a picture of the Bigfoot turning the camera around? Despite not having taken any photos, she has made plaster casts of their feet, with the longest measurement measuring 18 and a half inches. Now, I wear a 13, which is 13-inch foot. I have a shoe that is a 13. Guess I'm a Bigfoot. Shaquille O'Neal, I hear, is a 23 and a half. Maybe there's a family of Shaquille O'Neals running around your backyard, and she just can't differentiate between the two. But regardless, this lady has a family, supposedly has a family, of Bigfoot living in her backyard. And she can't find a way to outsmart them, to get their picture. But that hasn't deterred supporters in the Russian cryptozoology field. Robin Lynn Pfeiffer has taken her findings to Russia to discuss her story with other Bigfoot believers. Good Lord, people, I am trying to find a way to take my wife on a trip. And this lady's going to Russia to sell her Bigfoot story. Hell, I've got big feet living in my that little tree line behind me. I'm going to take it to the Caribbean and tell my story. Is this how it works? Is this how I get a trip out of this? Because if this is how it works, count me in. Now, she attended a gathering in the Kermovo region where she met Igor Burtsev, a researcher in the Russian cryptozoology world. Burtsev believes he's found evidence of a Yeti-like creature in Russia. Now, after hearing Lynn Pfeiffer's story, he visited her in Michigan. God, everybody's traveling but me. Though he didn't see any Bigfoot while he was at her home, he still believes her 100% based on the evidence that she's collected, which is none. She has no evidence. We have no photos. We have no recordings. We'll get into the other lack of evidence later. Due to the difficulties in tracking down the creatures, it's challenging to know the specifics of Bigfoot behavior. Experts aren't sure how they migrate. Some paranormal researchers hypothesize that the cryptids might travel via interdimensional wormholes. Holy cow, that's what the dude in Midland said. Maybe he's onto something. However, the Bigfoot move around. Lynn Pfeiffer claims that they just mysteriously showed up and made themselves at home shortly after she and her family moved to the property in 2009. Lynn Pfeiffer says they all look different. If you're judging a Bigfoot's appearance based on a single video of a hairy ape man trudging through the woods, then you may not have considered that not all Bigfoots look similar, according to Lynn Pfeiffer. According to her, some Bigfoots are short, others are tall, and they all have different colors of fur. She claims that the Bigfoot on her land differentiate in size by as much as 3 feet. The shortest is close to 6 feet tall, while the tallest is nearly 9 feet. She told Discovery News, "The biggest one I've sat and looked at for 15 minutes was 9.5 feet tall. The large male is all black. Others are beige and white." Now, the question begs, who is Discovery News? And why are they allocating resources to do a story on this? This is beyond ridiculous. This might go down as worse than the Midland guy. Others in the cryptozoology world are skeptical of her claims. Oh, are you kidding me? Anybody listening to this should be skeptical. Lauren Coleman of the International Cryptozoology Museum in Portland says his biggest beef with Lynn Pfeiffer and every other so-called Bigfoot eyewitness is their lack of photographic evidence. According to Coleman, he said, all the Bigfoot contactees, for some reason, they have never taken photographs. There's a lot of interest in finding these things, but we have to look at the credibility of the people feeding us the stories. I'm always careful of two types of people, the debunkers who have no interest and the true believers who will not bring any critical thinking. They really believe that they're having these experiences. I don't know if it's hallucinations or a psychological state. That is according to Lauren Coleman of the International Cryptozoology Museum in Portland. Now, the Bigfoot community at large, they don't believe her either. The greater Bigfoot community has criticized Lynn Pfeiffer's story due to a lack of hard evidence beyond plaster footprints and anecdotes. At a 2011 Russian Yeti Symposium, Dr. Jeff Meldrum, a professor of anatomy and anthropology, dismissed Lynn Pfeiffer for not providing evidence, saying there's no substance to any of her claims. If there were 10 to 12 around her home, she should be opening up a museum with all the artifacts. One of the colleagues believes it's likely Lynn Pfeiffer's children are playing a prank on her. If that's the case, get that kid to Hollywood, because that is one heck of a deception. To have your mom go announce to the world, I have a group of Bigfoot living in my backyard, and find out it's your kid? That's one hell of a... get him to Hollywood. So we know there's stories of Bigfoot all around the world. Is it possible there's a family of Bigfoot living in Michigan? Highly doubtable, but in fact, the Upper Peninsula Bigfoot Sasquatch Research Organization has based their existence on trying to find a cryptid living in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. In 2016, the organization claimed there was a possible Bigfoot sighting on an Eagle's Nest camera in Beulah, Michigan. I live in Michigan. I should probably know how to pronounce this. A Bigfoot sighting on an Eagle's Nest camera in Beulah, Michigan, which is about 100 miles away from Lynn Pfeiffer's Newaygo County home. Now, I said there's no evidence. Idaho State University professor of anatomy and anthropology, Jeff Meldrum, I mentioned him before, is a Yeti investigator. He has traveled the world searching for the cryptid. He doubts Lynn Pfeiffer's evidence is real. Again, there is no substance to her claims, he said in an interview with Discovery News. There's Discovery News again. I got to look them up. If there were 12 or 10 of them around her home, she should be opening up a museum with all the artifacts. She has no pictures. She has no audio recordings. She has no hair samples. I mean, if you got 10 or 12 Bigfoot stomping around the woods behind your house, you're going to have some hair samples. She has nothing. That has not deterred Lynn Pfeiffer. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, in 2011, the Wall Street Journal did an article on this. How is this lady gaining so much notoriety? Anyway, she said that the cryptid neighbors would leave her gifts. They allegedly would bring her sticks and then usually take a big swig of water from one of the buckets outside of her house. Again, how does one news company look at this and say, send somebody over there, we got to get to the bottom of this? This is obviously fraudulent. The Wall Street Journal. I can see The Onion doing this. Okay. Yeah, if one of these news sources was The Onion, yeah, I'm all over it. Yeah, I get it. Wall Street Journal, that's supposedly a reputable news facility? Discovery News? I don't know. I mean, is that aligned with the Discovery Channel? What is going on here? Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that what she is claiming is absolutely false. There is no way in God's green earth that she has a family of Bigfoot living in the woods behind her house. It's not happening. Can it happen? Maybe. But if it does, you're going to have some evidence to say so. Now, some of you may be thinking, Tom, why can't she? She may be a totally sane person. That was thrown out the window. I've done a little bit of research on Miss Robin Lynn Pfeiffer. And I came across a mugshot. A mugshot? Tom, that means she was arrested. Absolutely. Robin Pfeiffer. She is a 5'9 female, brown, blah, blah, blah. Date of birth, 7-1 of 64. Earliest release date, 1-9 of 2012. Out of Muskegon. Discharge date, 1-9 of 17. What does she get busted for? Welfare fraud. Now, this is not a dig on anybody who is on welfare. I understand some people need it. I get that. I don't mind helping you out. But she plead guilty to welfare fraud and had a maximum sentence of, 5 years. Date of offense was in 2010. Date of sentence was 1-9 of 2012. So she is known. Obviously, she broke the law. And how did she break the law? By lying. So is this part of her, I don't know, charade? I mean, honestly, I went at length on the Midland Bigfoot guy. This lady takes the cake, though, because not only did she lie and tell everybody that they like blueberry bagels, but she got busted for it. At least the guy in Midland didn't get busted. Now, on the Midland Bigfoot show, I lambasted the Bigfoot Field Research Organization. I think that's what it stands for. I lambasted them because they were behind the guy in Midland 100%. They were on record as stating, I believe this guy. This guy's legit. And I just lambasted them saying, how can you be a legit organization looking for a cryptid when this guy is obviously lying? He has no proof. He has just like Robin Lynn Pfeiffer. No proof. No pictures. No hair. Nothing. He didn't even have plaster casts of their feet. But they believed him. So we have had a rocky relationship. And I emailed them. And I sent them a link to the story. And I said, look, I know I've had some words to say about your organization, but I need to know what you think. Am I being wrong here? Am I wrong? Is my thinking wrong here that this is not possible? And to the BFRO's credit, no, they do not stand by this. This is, in their eyes, a complete fabrication, a complete hoax. So, BFRO, you have just gained a measure of respect from me because not everything is paranormal. Not every cryptid account is legit. We're going to get into that in a future show. It might even be the next show about how I think the paranormal field is being just saturated with just groups that just will go out there and like the one guy, Lauren, whatever his name is, the Yeti researcher. He said it to a T. You have debunkers that won't believe anything. You have believers that won't believe anything but what they think is true. In the paranormal field, we have a lot of believers that no matter what they see, it's paranormal. And it is putting a stain on the paranormal community. I think I may talk about that next week. That's a good topic. Thanks, Tom. Hey, no problem. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to teach you how to teach your kids to say no to socialism. Because socialism's bad. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'm going to kind of loosen up this tinfoil hat now. I think it's permanently embedded into my skull after that segment. We will be right back. My name is Tom Velasquez. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. Do me a favor. Stop what you're doing right now and go to Spotify, go to iTunes, go to Tidal, go wherever you get your music from and download or stream multiple myself's and Tommy V's song, My Destiny. By doing so, in saving and favoriting that artist, which is me and my brother, you will be on track to be the first to get the new EP out soon. 6 new songs from multiple myself and Tommy V. You are a valued listener of this show. Now, listen to what my brother and I, listen to what we've created. Listen, download, stream multiple myself. MULTIPLEMYSELF. S and Tommy V. Download it, listen, let me know what you think. I'm curious to see what all of my people that listen to this show think. It is an under the rap genre, I will tell you that. But it's an uplifting message. Listen, download, stream, and be on the lookout for the new EP. All right, you have no idea how many people email me and mention, hey, Tom, how do I tell my child, how do I get my children, how do I get it across to my children that socialism is bad? Well, many parents who support traditional American values of self-responsibility, individual liberty, and free markets, they've been left to wonder how they can teach their children the truth about conservatism, how are the Constitution, and how to resist the rise of socialism. So this article I gathered from many different sources, but I got to be honest with you, I'm reading this article and I'm thinking, I've done that. That's exactly what I say. So I wanted to tell you, for those of you who have children or any of the young adults listening, you have to realize socialism is not the answer. Now, you will have the mainstream media tell you that socialism is on the rise. It's not. Right now, a poll just came out. 58% believe that we are on the right track. Now, that to me is kind of scary because it's a little low, but there's only 18% of the nation that believes that we should be a socialist nation. In other words, please give me everything for free. I don't want to have to work for it. The New Green Deal. AOK or AOC, whatever her name is, she didn't really put in there, or really didn't say it, but she put it in there, that those are unwilling who are unwilling to work, they're going to get paid anyway. So you may be physically, mentally, totally capable of working, but under this new Green Deal, if you don't want to work, you don't have to. Government will pay for it. And remember from last week, class, Who is the government paying from? Us. So in other words, if you don't want to work under this new Green Deal, the American taxpayer is paying your way. Ladies and gentlemen, guess what? That is going to spread like the plague. If that guy, if Johnny Joe sees Freddie Mac not working and he's having to pay Freddie Mac's monthly wages out of his taxes, Johnny Joe's going to say, F this, I ain't working either. And then eventually, nobody's going to work. Where are you going to get the money there, AOC? Margaret Thatcher said it best. Socialism's great until you run out of other people's money. And that's what it is. And that's what's happened in Venezuela. They ran out of people's money. Now they're eating dogs and cats off the street. How's that socialism? So what I want to do is I want to give you a couple examples of what you should say to your children. So we all know that in the American school system, socialism, it's spread as gospel. College campuses are rampant with socialism. It's filtering down now into high school, middle school, and even elementary school. They are starting to indoctrinate our children at a younger and younger age. So what I've done and what the general consensus of what to do is what I did is I nipped it off at the butt. I don't even want my kids coming up and asking me questions. I'm going to go to them and say, look, this is how it works. The government, we the taxpayers, are not going to pay your way. This is how the world works. You work, you do well, you make more money. Theoretically, you're supposed to do better. Now, in socialism, that's not the case. So explain the meaning of socialism and why it's immoral. Every conversation about socialism should begin with a study about what it actually entails. Socialism is the collective ownership and management of property. Now, in a purely socialist society, an idea that Karl Marx called communism, all or nearly all the property is owned and managed by the collective, which is the government. Under such a scheme, people have very little power over their own lives. Even their homes are owned collectively. In the case of democratic socialism, now I talked to you last week about the guy I work with who says, well, no, hold on, Norway, Sweden, they have democratic socialism and they're doing fine. Because every time you talk to somebody about socialism, they say, well, you're just using the bad examples. Tell me an example where capitalism has not worked. You can't. You can rattle off dozens of places where communism, socialism hasn't worked, but you cannot rattle off one place where capitalism isn't working. But every single one of them, because the liberal media has generated the talking point, use the word democratic socialism. So in the case of democratic socialism, this means that the people are forced to live according to the desires of the majority. In many situations, a small group of people is given power by the majority, and that group typically ends up being tyrannical, as we've seen in China, North Korea, and Venezuela. Hey, Americans, does this sound a little kind of like what we're going to now? We as a collective population have given power to a group of people who are hell-bent on having more power. And when they have more power, every time they gain more power, we lose some. It's a balancing act. If they gain, we lose. If we gain, they lose. They don't like to lose. We need to start realizing that. Now, with this model in place, minorities don't really have any rights. If the majority thinks people should live or work in a certain way, everyone is required to obey, even if it violates their deeply held beliefs. Mainstream media. The mainstream media, for all of their... I can't stand the mainstream media, but they're good. They are good at telling people what to believe. And they are good at regurgitating talking points. So you, as a consumer who listened to the mainstream media, democratic socialism, democratic socialism, you regurgitate those points. So they are dictating what you believe. Even if you don't have that belief, you will go with that belief. Now, for example, in a socialist country, vegetarians would be required to be part owners in a slaughterhouse. How's that make you feel? I know I have vegetarians that listen to this show. Socialist. Now, I don't want to judge. I don't want to put everybody in a category, but let's be honest. Most vegetarians fall on the liberal or socialist or left side of the aisle. Let's be honest. In a socialist economy, in a socialist country, you would be vegan. You love animals. I love animals. I love them. Love how they taste. I don't know if you would really be a part or want to be a part of owning part of a slaughterhouse. But the problem is you really wouldn't own that slaughterhouse because everything is owned by the government. Because in socialism, individual quote-unquote rights are mere illusions. Even free speech rights are limited if they are deemed harmful to the rest of the society, which means that these rights don't really exist at all. That's why human rights abuses are so common in countries that try to enact socialism. So let's make that into, or let's put that into one big category. We right now have the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. It gives us certain rights that we have. Free speech, the right to bear arms, blah, blah, blah. I could go on all day. We may have those. We may keep those. But if the majority, if the media says that's evil, nope, you can't have free speech. That talks about the government. That talks about bad about that person. That talks bad about that situation. And the majority follows along. Guess what? You don't have a constitution. You don't have a Bill of Rights because it's the majority. And listen, don't think the media will not be paid off by the government. You will spread this. This is what we want you to say. This is how we want you to say it. You will say it and you will be reciprocated. So people want to get paid because in a socialist society, not many people are getting paid except if you have power. So the media, who wants to get paid, is going to reciprocate that by saying exactly what the government wants them to say. Therefore, brainwashing you into believing things you really normally wouldn't believe in a free society. Now, another thing you can do is emphasize charity, not government coercion. Now, for most young Americans, socialist ideas are appealing because they generally want to help those who are suffering. Very noble cause. It is very noble to help those that are suffering. So therefore, they believe a single-payer health care or a Green New Deal or other similar policies are compassionate. Listen, we're going to help everybody. How can that be wrong? Because you're hurting the majority by helping the minority. Conservatives have a tendency to dismiss these ideas without proving alternatives. Exactly. The conservatives, we're quiet. We just kind of sit back and go, the new Green Deal, that's not going to work. What's your plan? Well, I don't know. You have to have a plan. The plan is go back to constitutional basis, constitutional law. This leads, because the conservatives don't have a plan, they just say, that's not going to work. Why? Because it's not? Because it's going to take money away from everybody? The media has portrayed rich people, even the middle class, as privileged. So those in the lower echelon of the income level, they are put on they're vaulted up. They're put on a pedestal. And that's how the media has portrayed it. So the conservatives now, because they don't have a plan, if they do have a plan, they're not telling anybody. This leaves younger people feeling frustrated. And that's why they're moving towards this. Government social programs may not be perfect. That is what younger liberals often tell me, that, hey, they may not be perfect, but at least liberals and socialists are trying to fix the difficult problems like poverty, low income, lack of food, starvation. But are they? Seriously, if they were trying to fix them, it's been since the New Deal from the 30s. I mean, at least since the 60s, we'll go. There has been a fight, a quote-unquote fight, to fight poverty and starvation and low income and helping the minorities get up out of the hole that they say they're in. How's that working? Because they're still in that hole. Listen, again, I don't want to sound, and this is going to come off so bad, and I don't know how else to say it. But there is a huge white privilege problem out there. The media has proven to people, according to some, that if you're white, you've got privilege. But listen to me. You look at the African Americans, the black people, the Mexicans, the Chinese, the Orientals. Look at how well some of these people are living. And tell me, could you go back to where you were, your ancestors are from, and live this well? The house you live in, it may be run down. You may be hurting for money. But to be honest with you, how would you be in your country, your original country that your ancestors came from? People don't realize how good they have it here in America. And it's because the media is telling them, oh, you got it so bad. You guys are horrible. You guys could get so much better if you just have a party in there that would work for you. That party's the Democratic Party. Oh, that party's been working for you for 60 years and hasn't done a thing to help you out? That's beside the fact. But that's what we're going to. Whenever parents discuss socialism, they should always explain that it's important to engage in charitable activities. Advocates of freedom do support helping others. They just don't believe the government is best equipped to do it. The government, in all honesty, is not equipped to do anything. The government's way too big. We as Americans are the most giving country by far in the world. By far. We give more to charities. We give more to good causes than any other country by far. Use that as a way to help others. You don't need to change the whole government structure of this country to do so. Because in order to do that, you have to take money from people who are actually working hard to support their families, like me. I would be one that would be hurt by socialism. The idea is best reinforced when families engage in charitable events together. Parents must show their kids that motivated, compassionate conservatives care for those most in need and make the world a better place. This conversation allows parents to make a very important moral argument. Charity is morally positive because it means people are voluntarily helping those in need, but government welfare programs, however well-intentioned they may be, and I put that with a lot of sarcasm, they are not forms of charity. They require the government to use and force coercion. Those who do not want to pay for a government program because they think it isn't helpful or perhaps they believe it is harmful are forced to pay their taxes and participate anyway. Those who refuse to pay their taxes, where do they go? They end up in jail, in prison. Simply put, conservatives support people freely helping others, while those on the left advocate forcing, manipulating, and controlling people to accomplish their goals. Very simple. Do you want to help? Yes, I do. Good, go help. Do you want to help? No, I don't want to pay for that woman over there. My cousin, who is fully capable of working, who refuses to work. I don't want to help her live better than I do. Go to jail. go to prison. The choice is obvious. Explain that there's never been a successful socialist nation in the world, in world history. I mean, this is where I get this so often. Tom, what about this country? Tom, what about this country? There's never been a successful socialist country in the history, in world history. Here is a startling fact about socialism that every child should hear. During the past century, tens of millions of people have been killed, exiled, or imprisoned by socialist and communist parties, and no other country has ever successfully enacted a system that matches Marx's vision for the world, a reality even the staunchest Marxist must admit. Karl Marx had a great plan for communism. That plan has never worked. It never can work. You cannot depend on other people's money to make everyone else happy. It's never been fully implemented because it never can. Because people will run out of money before the plan can be implemented. Kids often respond, and when I say kids, Stephen, this is directed fully at you. Kids often respond to this fact by saying there are many examples of socialism working successfully. Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, they point to Denmark, Norway, and Sweden. The idea that Nordic nations are little socialist utopias, that's a giant myth. Denmark, Norway, and Sweden are absolutely not socialist nations. Some parts of their economies have been socialized, like healthcare and higher education, but they are still market-based economies, and in many respects, their citizens are freer than Americans. For example, in Heritage Foundation's 2019 Index of Economic Freedom, Denmark, Norway, and Sweden all scored higher than the United States in numerous categories, including property rights and business freedom. Furthermore, history has repeatedly shown that government cannot fix most of our complex societal issues, even when it socializes just one part of the economy. For example, let's use Obamacare. Since the Obamacare health insurance exchanges first opened, insurance premiums have doubled and deductibles have skyrocketed. I am a firm believer in that because I dealt with that. I currently deal with that. Before Obamacare was initiated, unfortunately, we were healthy. And then Obamacare came, and then my wife was diagnosed with cancer. My deductibles, I pay $6,000 per family member. That's me, my wife, four kids, six people. I have to pay $24,000 in deductibles before my insurance kicks in. I don't go to the doctor anymore. I just don't. I can't afford it. Thank you, Obamacare. That's what socialism brings you. Norway, Sweden, Denmark, yes, they have socialism aspects. Free healthcare, free medical care. But they're offset by the fact that they are run with a capitalist society. I'm not saying free healthcare. I'm not saying free schooling isn't bad. But they aren't paying for anybody that can work and won't work. It just doesn't happen. That is where our money keeps going. What they call entitlements. You know, these entitlements are infuriating because now Social Security is an entitlement. No, it's not. Every paycheck, my check is deducted for Social Security. I'm sure that's not entitled to anybody else but other than me. What I pay in, I want back. Now, by the time I retire, it ain't going to happen. But, you know, that's the way things are until we change it. You have to know that talking about the dangers of socialism with kids isn't easy. Kids don't understand. Children are constantly being bombarded with pro-socialist messages from Hollywood, the music industry, except Tommy V and multiple myself, professional sports, and most importantly, their teachers and professors. But you have to ask yourself, if you don't put the time in to tell your kids about the dangers of socialism, who will? Because it's not going to come from society. The kids aren't going to magically have an article that is going to tell them how bad socialism is. Your kids aren't going to have, unless they're listening to the Paranormal Patriot, they're not going to hear about the dangers of socialism. All they're going to hear about is how great socialism is. And when you tell them, look at communism, look at Russia, look at North Korea, look at Venezuela, they're going to come back with the predisposed response of, well, that's not real socialism. Look at Denmark, look at Russia, or look at Sweden, look at Norway. That's socialism. That's not socialism. That is not socialism because it's not true socialism. We could learn a lot from the Nordic countries. What we can't do is learn a lot from Russia, North Korea, Venezuela, and any other communist regime. And that's what the media is portraying that we need to be at. We need to become a socialist nation. We need to become that communist nation to make sure everybody's taken care of. Ladies and gentlemen, newsflash, we can't take care of everybody. Some of these people are going to have to take care of themselves. They're going to have to get off their lazy behinds. They're going to have to get a job, and they're going to have a little bit of pride, and they're going to have to fend for their families like the majority of people listening to this show do. It's frustrating. I look at my cousin. She has no desire to work. I'm working 55 hours a week, and when I see her with her brand new phone, food up the wazoo. None of it's good for her. But she's living better than I am because she doesn't work. She doesn't have to work because I'm paying for it. You're paying for it. How does that make you feel? Teach your kids about the dangers of socialism. Because we're at a crossroads in this country. Like it or not, we are at a crossroads, and we have to figure out how we get through the fact that there's a growing number of people. Now, granted, they're the millennials that don't want to work, don't think they should have to work, they're offended by everything, that think socialism's the answer. Because when we have socialism, that means I get everything for free. I get free healthcare. I get free schooling. I get free housing. I get my free phone. Nothing is free. When they start paying taxes, if they ever pay taxes, because they're probably never going to work, then they'll realize nothing's free. There's thoughts of taxing the quote-unquote rich 60, 70, 80%. How would you feel if 80% of your taxes or 80% of your paycheck, how would you feel if that just vanished just to pay for people who don't want to work? I bet you then you'd say something. Day's coming, everybody. The day is coming. We need to figure out how to talk to our children, how to stop the indoctrination in our school systems. And until we do that, we don't have a chance because it's too strong. You're getting it from too many sides. But our kids look up to us as parents. So therefore, it's up to us to teach them what is right and what is wrong. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think of the show. Let me know what you think of the Bigfoot issue. I don't even know how to feel insecure. We're going to end the show this week. I'll be back next week. You have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot, taking off the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will talk to you next week.